Welcome to One Girl in All the World, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch podcast where we recap each episode in order and discuss. I'm Ashley, Buffy superfan.
Kimmy, Buffy newbie.
Not Buffy, Kimmy newbie. You can find us on all major podcast apps, YouTube and Instagram, with new episodes on Tuesdays. That was my favorite when you were like, I'm Buffy, Kimmy newbie. I'm not even Kimmy anymore. I've become Buffy.
I mean, are we at the point now where we're halfway? We're almost halfway through the series, right?
I mean, we're closer. Season four is halfway.
Season four is a halfway. Okay.
Yeah. So we probably have about a season to go before.
I can almost say I'm Buffy.
Yeah. There you go. He's just become one with Buffy. Now, then you're just saying that you're Buffy. I like it. That's the goal. Do not know the difference. Do not know where Buffy ends and you begin. So things are going well. My plan. Yes.
Well, I will say this episode was wow.
Yeah. Dark. Heavy,
but so good,
but entertaining. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. So yeah. Today we're talking about Helpless, which is like Buffy always has like a tongue-in-cheek, like lighter side to the episodes, but it's been a while since we've had one dark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very, very dark. And I will say that, like, the question that you asked last week, there's no way I would have been able to guess that answer ever.
Yeah, you never would nope. think
not in a million years.
Yeah, so Helpless originally aired on January 19th, 1999, written by David Fury and directed by James A. Cotner, so names that are familiar to us. And the synopsis is, for her upcoming 18th birthday, Buffy eschews her friend's offer of a big party, hoping to celebrate with a quiet reflection and a traditional trip to the ice show with her father. But unbeknownst to Buffy, preparations are being made for a life-threatening rite of passage that drains the Slayer of her powers and then entraps her with a powerful vampire foe that she must defeat in a defenseless state in order to pass the test. So.
I have so many things to say, but let's.
As we get there, we'll get them.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, all right. Yeah. We'll there's a lot.
Step by step.
There's a lot. Of
a lot to unpack this week.
Yeah. So, okay. So we start the episode in the mansion. So, obviously, Buffy and Angel are hanging out again.
They're friends. They can be friends.
They've stopped their cold turkey. We're not going to see each other. BS. So they are hanging out again. And it looks like they were having a little picnic. Just for her, I guess, because he doesn't eat food. He can, but he doesn't. And they're sparring. So they're having
I wrote fighting, but yeah, training.
Yeah, they're training. Yeah.
Yep.
And it gets a little...
heated?
Yes. In the sexual way, mm-hmm. in like the bit. down yonder way, and it gets a little bit awkward, and they're like, "Oh yeah, oh sad, oh yeah, we're not getting satisfied, no." And they're very awkward, and Buffy's gonna leave, but Angel asks her if he's gonna see her this weekend because he knows it's her birthday, and he's like, "You probably have plans."
Also, he asks if she has a date,
which I was like,
Angel, really?
I've moved on from my first billion rewatches of the show. I've moved on from Angel and Buffy, but I thought this was cute. When he's like, do you have a date? And she's like, yes, actually, I do have a date.
With an older man,
very handsome, likes to call him daddy. And he's like, oh, it's your father. Yeah. It is your father, right? So I thought that was cute. Like, very like innocent, jealous Angel is adorable to me.
Yeah.
So she's, her and her dad are, every year they go to the ice show.
Mm-hmm. That's cute. That's a cute tradition.
Yeah. And she loves it. Cause like this is something Buffy and I have in common. We love figure skating.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she is.
And she hasn't seen her dad for a while.
Yeah. We get that impression for sure. And, she loves it. And she's like really looking forward to like the fun because things have been a bit heavy lately for her. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to get heavier, unfortunately. She's looking forward to that. So we go to the library and Giles is doing some training with Buffy on crystals, like identifying crystals and what their powers are or what they can do. So that's what the training that we walk into.
And he mentions something about, I can't remember the question he asks her, but she replies with, so how do you know if someone's aura is dirty?
Yeah.
Does somebody come by with a finger and write, wash me on it?
I think it was an amethyst.
Yes.
And then he says one of the powers is cleansing the aura. Right. And that's what she says. Yeah. So that's funny. And she obviously is not taking it very seriously.
No, because it seems silly. I agree.
And Giles is kind of like, oh, come on. And she's like really antsy. She thinks she should be out patrolling because Faith is apparently on one of her unscheduled walkabouts. So Faith,
what does that mean? She's just gone?
She just kind of like hit the road for a while, like just disappeared.
That's so weird. And she doesn't have a watcher.
No. And they kind of are just like,
I feel
okay.
Like we just don't even really, like, we've barely seen her.
Yeah. And she never really got a real one because Evelyn Post was faking it. You know, like she wasn't actually.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she wasn't actually sent by the council. So the council just never sent anybody.
Exactly. No. She's just on her own.
Yeah. So, Giles is still supposed to be like being her watcher, remember? Because he kind of like took over both temporary of them until. Yeah. But he says that, you know, Faith's not interested in training. So I guess he's just
giving up on her. Well, not giving up, but letting her during his.
He's not going to force. Yeah. He puts more pressure on Buffy. I guess with Faith, he's like,
whatever.
If you don't want to do it, I'm not going to hunt you down. We don't see really any of those conversations, though. But yeah.
Okay.
So he puts this big blue crystal in front of Buffy and tells her to, like, concentrate on it. And that's the end of the scene. So we don't see anything else. We go to the playground where those kids were murdered.
Yeah, I saw that. I was just like, weird, because I feel like that was the first time we saw it was the last episode. And then...
Yeah, we already have the set set up. Let's put the fight there. We have everything set up. Like, sure. Let's just use the set again real quick.
Why not?
People will forget that the murder happened there. Or the
definitely supposed, did not forget it.
Supposed murder. So Buffy's fighting a vampire. She
looks weird all of a sudden.
Yeah, she says later that she feels like a case of the disease. So she gets very dizzy. And all of a sudden, like, can't fight this guy.
No, this guy totally takes over and starts kicking her butt.
Almost stakes her with her own stake.
Yep. Oh my God, that was something to watch.
And it's kind of like a fluke that she even stakes him.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of falls on her and she has the stake.
He fumbles. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He trips or whatever.
Yeah, and then he's staked, so was a close call for sure. Mm-hmm. If that hadn't happened, it probably would have ended badly. So she kind of just is like, that's weird. And dusts herself off literally and goes home. So we go to the credits and we come back in the library where Buffy is throwing at a target.
She's trying to do like darts, but with knives basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see it and she's not hitting anything. Like, wow. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Yeah. And Giles comes in and she's like, look at this, like something like I got a case of the dizzies. This vampire almost got me last night. Mm-hmm. And he says,
like,
you might just be coming down with the flu. Like he's not concerned.
No. Seems a little weird though. Cause she says she's off her game. I don't know. So at this point for me, I was kind of like, I already thought it was a little bit weird. Cause I was like, I feel like if she was getting the flu, she would kind of feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like she would feel something other than just.
And we saw her get the flu, remember? Like when she was in the hospital.
Exactly.
And she didn't like lose her powers. She just kept going until she passed out during the control.
Exactly. Yep. So I thought that was kind of a weird. Yeah. I was already on guard with that one.
Red flag, right?
And she says, I can't get sick. And then she wants to go to the ice show with her dad.
Yeah. And she says that, when she says her game is like lost, she's like, it's left the country. It's in Cuernavaca. And I was like, where is that? And it's in Mexico, near Mexico City.
Oh, really?
I looked it up because I was like, I don't never heard of that place before.
No, me either.
So, yeah, it left the country and went to Mexico. she said she can't get sick. She wants to go to the ice show with her dad. And he says, well, why don't you just, like, stop patrolling for the next few days? And, like, this statement doesn't seem as much in the moment. But in hindsight, you're like, okay, he wants her to stay off the street. He wants her to stay off the street.
Exactly. And, of course, I didn't make that connection either when he said that at the time. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
But, if we would have really honed in on that, we would have thought, that's not something, like, Giles would say.
Yeah.
It's very un-Giles-like, actually.
Flippant about her.
Exactly. Yes.
Concerns.
Yep.
So we go to the quad. Yeah, we go to the quad and she's telling they're trying to be like, what are you doing for your birthday? It's Oz, Xander, Willow, and Buffy. And Xander wants to have a party. And she's like, no, like, I have a bad history with birthdays and I'm going to try to avoid it this year. Plus, I'm going to the ice show with my dad. And it's like really cute. Like,
it is so cute. But Xander was like making her feel like it was cheesy.
I know.
I was not into. Was like,
and she's
whatever.
Like kind of defending it. And I like Oz. He's like, no, it's not like girly at all. It's like, or it's cool. It's not uncool at all. It's like, it's water, but it's not. I'm on the ice. So she's like, I like it. Maybe it's fun, you know, whatever.
I thought that was cute. Exactly.
Because get cotton candy in a program and all this. And it's really cute.
Yeah, super cute.
Yeah. So she's definitely wants no party.
No, she wants quiet reflection for her 18.
Quiet reflection, yeah, and ice skates. So Buffy comes home. This part is so sad.
Comes home into
her kitchen. Her mom's cooking, and there's like a big, like a balloon and flowers and a card. And she's like, oh, I got, you know, early birthday stuff. And Joy says that, like, basically has the tickets stuck to the front that her dad's not taking her because
That's
of work.
So crappy.
And Buffy is so crushed.
She is very crushed. She was really looking forward to this. She never sees her dad. This is a tradition they have. And like for her, because she's had such bad birthday luck, this is like a nice comfort for her. This helps her bring some sense of normalcy to a day where she's not looking forward to it. So this is the thing she was looking forward to, and he just took it away from her.
Yeah, and even it was so extra sad because in the scene before when she said, I can't get sick to Giles, she's like, I can't cancel on my dad. It would break his heart. And he can't let her.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah, so he, you know, Joyce is like, oh, can I, like, maybe I can take you? She's like, no, it's fine. Like, and she just,
also,
like,
Joyce is like, I can
up.
Try to get time off work.
Yeah.
It's, like, so it's not like Joyce can just go.
Yeah. And she just crumples up the note. She doesn't even read it.
No.
And she
He doesn't deserve that from her.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve her energy.
So then we go to the Sunnydale Arms, which seems to be, like, an old boarding house. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Vacant. It's not the word I'm looking for, but...
Abandoned,
yeah.
Okay.
Boarding house. And there's people preparing something. They're doing, like, work on the house. They're building
bricking
up doorways. Windows. Yeah, windows, doorways. Yeah. And this old guy, we do find out his name is Quentin later, so I'll say he's Quentin. This old British guy tells the other two guys that they can sleep now, they can sleep in shifts. And that they only need about, like, 5 or 6 hours left of, like, work to get everything ready. And they look over at this, like, locked closet, kind of, I guess. Like, it's kind of a cage, but it's, like, wooden in the front. And it's, like, locked up. And obviously there's something behind there. And then he says, like, the Slayer's preparation is almost ready. So we're like, uh-oh. This isn't too good.
No, that sounds weird. No, I'm not a fan of whatever's happening.
And then another, like, so sad is, like, in the library, they're doing this, the training again with the crystals. And Buffy is so trying to hint to Giles.
Yeah, can you take me to this ice thing? Because you're basically, like, my dad. You're my father figure.
Oh, my
gosh. Like, can you just take me? And he's, like, just focus on the crystals.
Yeah,
what
he's distracted.
Wrong with you?
He's distracted. And it's so sad, but she's like, yeah, something families do together. Is one might take their... daughters or their student or their slayer. Like, she's so sad that she, like, wants him to take her.
Yeah.
And that he's not, like, getting it, like, at all.
No. Because he's preoccupied. He's not really paying attention to her.
That would have been adorable.
It would have been adorable. So then he's getting her to focus on this crystal. And he hypnotizes her. The crystal hypnotizes her. The crystal and Giles hypnotize her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so here's the thing. He injects her with something.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we take a medical break for a second? Medical professional break. Okay.
Yes. So I knew you'd have stuff to say.
People watching this, first of all, you do not inject in someone's forearm unless it's a TB test, which this clearly was not. Also, the gauge of the needle that he used would never go in a forearm.
That was big, right?
Huge. Oh, my God.
Right, yeah. I looked big.
I was like, where
are you? You got to see it on the camera, Kimmy.
Maybe we would put this in someone's thigh. Like...
he's a watcher, not a doctor, okay?
But I mean, like, what are you injecting someone's forearm with? This is so weird to me. Okay,
yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, and that was a big, big needle.
Yes, but, in the wrong spot.
Yeah. And then also, before that, she's talking about, like, she's still trying to, like, talk up the ice show. And she says, she mentions a ice skater, Brian Boitano.
Boitano. You didn't know who that was?
I just pronounced his name wrong.
Oh, I was like, South Park does a whole song about him.
Yeah, so he's an Olympic gold medalist, and a lot of them are, and they after they retire from competing, because you don't, like, in most, like, sports and, like, athletes, like, your career...
You retire young.
Yeah, you retire young, and then what do? So a lot of people, like, do these, like, stars on ice, and, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, actually, I looked up. He's from Mountain View.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, he's
near our hood.
Right by us. Yeah. And, so he injects her with something. And then he kind of puts his, like, hand, waves his hand in front of her face, and she, like, snaps out of it. She's like, oh, sorry, I zoned out again. So, like, whatever he did, he broke the contact with it.
The hypnotized, hip, hypnotism.
Yeah. In the quad, Angel, sorry, I put A, so I added myself. In the quad, Amy, we find out that Amy is still a rat and living with Willow. And Willow's loving it.
That was so funny. She kind of deserves it for turning herself into a rat and abandoning them. So whatever.
And she's living a good life. Like Willow said, she bought her a little taking bell. Very good care of her. She loves having a little pet. And Buffy's like, we have to turn her back. Like, you can't just like keep her, Willow. And then we see that this guy is talking to Cordelia.
Oh, and he's being a jerk.
Yeah, big time.
And she's taking it in stride. Wow. She impressed me because if someone was acting like that to me, I would be freaked out.
And he grabs her. So mm-hmm. he stood her up. She stood him up at the bronze. And she's like, I'm the rebound. Like, don't take my flirting seriously.
And he brought her up.
He grabs her. And then mm-hmm. Buffy comes up and is like, oh, no, you don't. And she tries to, like, grab him off of her.
And she can't. She's not strong.
Then he shoves her, like, hard onto a bench. And she falls off the bench, like, mm-hmm. crazy. And at least Cordelia tries to start hitting him. But...
how is this acceptable behavior?
Not for sure.
Ever.
It's horrible. But Buffy's like shocked that
she couldn't do anything.
She couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So in the hallway, she catches up with Giles.
She's complaining and he's completely unfazed.
Yeah, she's worried. She's like, I just got like shoved over by some guy.
She's like, I'm weak. I have no strength, no coordination. And he's just acting weird.
She got shoved over by some no neck. Giles doesn't worry, but if you notice in this scene, he cannot make eye contact with her.
I didn't notice because I still didn't really understand like what had happened. I mean, I did because I knew what happened in the previous scene, but I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah, he like barely looks her in the eye in this whole scene. When he's telling her, I'm sure it's fine, I'm sure we'll figure it out, and belittling it, like he can barely look her in the eye.
And he's like, I mean, at this point, I'm low-key hating him because I'm like, what are you doing to her?
He's doing something to her and not telling her. Yeah, we know that so far. So at the Sunnydale Arms, Quentin is sitting and having tea with Giles.
I'm like, what is going on here? What is this?
Yeah. And we find out that Quentin and these other two guys work for the council.
Okay. And so well, Giles?
Co-workers.
Yes. Giles is trying to say that he doubts the chrysanthemum. That's what he said?
What was else? What else was the context for that? I don't remember that.
I don't know. Giles has doubts, chrysanthemum, and then not easy. Shoot, I can't understand my handwriting.
I'm not sure what that is. I don't remember that.
Okay, but he says something about chrysanthemum. Is that a crystal? I think it's a crystal. It's the crystal, right? Chrysanthemum?
I thought it was a flower.
But I think it's a I'm going to Google.
I don't know. But we do find out, basically, when the Slayer turns 18, they have to basically go into a cage match with a vampire mm-hmm. without any powers. And it's not just about a power. Like, a Slayer isn't just about having physical power. It's about having, like, cleverness and being able to, like, think on your feet and all this stuff. So, basically,
it's a flower stone.
Look at that. We were both right. Can you believe it?
It's pretty.
I said flower too. Okay. Flower stone?
You did, yes. No, you're right, because I also think of it as a flower, but I swear he said that. Anyway, so yes.
Okay.
Turns 18. They have to go through this weird test.
Yeah. And the Watcher's job is to administer the stuff that makes her lose her power.
Which is so crazy. I can't believe they do this. And yeah. Giles even says this is an archaic exercise in cruelty.
Giles is doing it, but he's not happy about it. And he's trying to convince them that it's not necessary, like not to do it, but he's still, for now, he's going along with it.
But I mean, it sounds like he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah. So they're there and they start hearing like yelling and screaming from that closet. So the two guys come over, unlock it, and there's like a vampire in a straitjacket, like all like tied up.
A very creepy looking vampire.
Yeah. And they give him pills on like a long spoon so he can't get near them. And then gives him water on like a big long stick so nobody gets near him. And that kind of calms him down. So in the library, Willow's trying to help Buffy research what's going on with her because Giles has been no help.
Yeah.
And they're looking up, like, is it a spell? Is it a curse? Like, what's
Kryptonite?
Going on? Yeah. And this little, I don't know much about Superman, but I looked up this little argument the debate that Oz and Xander are having, and Oz was actually correct in what he says about the kryptonite.
Oz is correct.
Yes. About like what color. Yeah, Oz is correct.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't have to look that one up.
I didn't know. And Buffy and Willow have a quick little conversation about what if it doesn't come back?
What if her powers never come back?
And Willow's like, you know, if you didn't want to be the Slayer, you can't be the Slayer without this stuff, basically. So it could just open the door to normal life. And Buffy's like, maybe, you know?
And she's like, Giles is still not being helpful. So.
Yeah, he comes in and she's like, anything? He's like, no. Thanks. Hey. Thanks for nothing. Yeah. At the Sunnydale Arms, this is what it was called, right? Sunnydale Arms.
I just kept writing question mark the whole time, so.
In the very first scene that we see it, they see the sign in the front.
Oh, I missed that. I was probably frantically writing notes when it came up.
Yeah, Sunnydale Arms. One of the two guys that is not Quentin and Giles, there's Blair and something with an H, Hobart or something. I wrote it down somewhere. Anyway, they're taking shifts and sleeping, mm-hmm. and Blair is, it's his turn. So the other guy lays down and Blair goes out and the vampire starts screaming for his pills. Mm-hmm. And Blair gives him the pills, but the water glass is empty. So Blair goes into the kitchen to fill the water glass and the vampire is able to start putting pressure or on the stitches of the straitjacket. So it starts coming apart and Blair comes back and gives him his pills, but basically he's able to grab him.
Yeah. Well, he gets him to go closer. Yeah, he tricks him.
And he just has him by the throat.
He strangles him. Yep. Super creepy. Yeah. This whole episode gave me horror movie vibes. Mm-hmm. This was the first episode that I it was very suspenseful and scary for me. The other episodes were nothing has really scared me before, but this one I was just like, oh my God.
Oh, cool.
It was super creepy. Yeah.
There will be a few more that are extremely creepy. Oof, okay. Not even oh, this is supposed to be a scary monster or whatever. There's especially one that creeps people out pretty bad.
Oh man. Okay.
It's next season though. So we're back at the mansion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Angel gives Buffy a book for her birthday. Okay. He gives her the sonnets from the Portuguese, which is 1850 book of 44 love sonnets written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Why would he think Buffy would like this?
I don't know. He was trying to be sweet, obviously.
Angel, I guess, is the kind of, I know people like this that give people gifts that they want them to have, but not that the person actually would enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Buffy, we know Buffy isn't really into poetry.
Yep. Or reading.
Yeah. Or books of any kind. the whole thing with Owen, she had to pretend that she knew stuff about Emily Dickinson, poetry. So I don't understand why Angel would give her this. And she kind of was like, yo, it's beautiful. You know, yeah,
thanks.
He does sign it always in the front.
Yeah.
You saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
And she's just not really excited. And he's like, yeah, you sound like more excited when you got a severed arm in a box last year. We remember the arm of the judge.
Yeah. But she's distracted. She talks about her losing her powers.
Yeah. She's worried about who she'll be, who she'll become. And she said, before, she's like, what do I have to offer, the world and everything? I understand all of this, the train her mind's on. But I also don't like when she's like, and why would you like me?
Yeah, I didn't like that either. That but I feel like stupid. The first part, at least, though, for her, it's just kind of a loss of sense of self, a loss of sense of purpose, which is a little, that's a really hard shift for anybody to make.
Yeah. And she says, someone that remains lame, I made someone that remained lame. This is called her Spordelia. Look like a scholar compared to me. I was really shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And Angel kind of spills the beans that we've already seen in season mm-hmm. 2, a flashback that he saw her be called before she called, and that he loved her from walking her walk out of that school with a sucker.
Love at first sight, apparently.
He's like, I just could see your heart then and everything. And they have this nice little moment. And then they're like, that was kind of gross. Talking about how he wanted to protect her heart, talking about a literal heart and stuff. It's just, that scene, it was a bit, it took a turn. But it made it a little bit lighter. So, the Sunnydale Arms, the Blair is on the ground from being killed, and he turns. So he's
he's a vampire now.
He's a vampire.
Crap.
And Blair is playing on the other team now, and Hax, his name's Kurlik, is the last name of the vampire.
So it's like Bree.
Yeah, he gets him out and is like, hey, why don't you go grab your buddy that's sleeping in the other room?
Oh, God.
Not good. And so we're in the same location, but time has gone by. And Giles arrives and is, like, calling for people and, like, nobody's
Quentin,
there.
Yeah, he's looking for Quentin.
Yeah.
Wandering around.
He notices that he puts his hand down. There's blood on, like, the banister.
Mm-hmm. This should have been your first sign, Giles. Get out.
Yeah. The cage is empty.
Yeah.
And then he finds the other guy. I think it was Hobson or something. Finds him, like, bleh, like, spread out, like, completely mutilated.
Almost vomits and runs out.
Yeah. I was surprised by that because I feel like Giles has seen some stuff and, like, that's what made him sick.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so he runs out because, obviously, this guy, this vampire is on the loose.
Yeah.
Buffy's walking home from Angel's on the street and gets, like, kind of like cat called, like harassed by these two guys asking like how much for her for a lap dance.
Lap dance, that's so gross.
So she has to deal with like what as women do, like the assholes, and then she has to also deal with the supernatural ones as well.
And this is something she didn't have to deal with normal men before, really.
Yeah, like, she could
have
just
she didn't have to worry about it.
Swap them away like fly.
Yeah.
But so she's nervous and she's walking away from them, and then she runs into
a vampire.
The vampire. The crazy one. And she immediately runs and is, like screaming for someone to help her. She runs out into the street.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, loses her coat in the midst of this.
Yeah.
And cars are just going around her.
Yeah, the first car doesn't even stop. Like, you see a woman screaming in the middle of the road and you don't stop?
That's and weird. Eventually, another car comes and it's Giles.
Yeah.
And she jumps in. And she takes off. But we see that Kurlik has her coat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It's red, right? Is it red?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you pick up on the little Red Riding Hood stuff through this episode?
Oh.
Because later he is very heavy handed later.
Nice. You're right. Now that you say it, I can see it. Okay.
So the coat is part of that.
Yeah.
At the library, Buffy is upset. She's got a little bit beat up.
Terrified of being
trying to get away. Trying to get away.
Terrified, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I've seen too much now. Like, I can't, like, be helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And Giles comes clean and he puts out the
injection. He shows her his injection kit. Yep. It's an organic compound. Muscle relaxants. Okay. And here's the thing. Adrenal suppressors.
Yeah.
So another medical break. Adrenal suppressors do make you weak and dizzy, and they make you so you can't do like really anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like even like if you gave that to a normal person, it, like they would take away everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Continue. Perfect elixir to make a slayer weak.
Mm-hmm.
So obvious, like, of course, she feels extremely betrayed.
Yeah. She looks stricken.
Yeah, can't believe it.
She's in complete disbelief.
Yeah, she can't believe it. And he says that he explains the test to her that we already know about. And he says that the vampire is Zachary Kralik, who murdered and tortured more than a dozen women when he was a human. That's before he was sent to an insane asylum and then eventually was returned there to a vampire. And a little side note, David Fury, that's his nephew's name. That's where he just took his nephew's name and named the vampire that.
Oh, okay.
He named him a vampire that's murdered women after you. How lovely. but he says the test is now invalidated because he's told her about it, so she'll be safe. But she, I don't even know if she's hearing any of this, really, or taking any of it on because she is so upset.
He tries to explain to her that she'll feel better in a few days. He talks about the test. If the Slayer reaches her 18th birthday.
Yeah, for real.
The Slayer's disabled, and entrapped, and I just... Okay, so here's my thing. It's one thing to do all of the things that they're talking about, like to take away her powers and to try and get her to kill a vampire using her other...
Skills,
thank you, yes. But, like, why do they have to get this vampire, this crazy... Yeah, crazy vampire, this, like... You know, vampire on steroids, basically.
Yeah, it's like, also, why couldn't she have known about it? It doesn't give her an advantage, I feel like.
No.
Because she still doesn't have the power. And yeah, why does it have to be, like, a really bad vampire? Like, she's barely gotten
can't
away.
Can't just be
like,
a normal vampire? Ones. Exactly.
Yeah, barely gotten away from the normal ones.
Yep.
So, yeah, good point. Is this where Cordy comes in?
Well, first, Buffy gets, she's furious, and Giles just kind of like yeah, I had to do this, and she wants to know how he could.
Mm-hmm.
How could he do that?
And then we go to Buffy's house, and Joyce is doing her bills, and hears a noise outside, walks out onto the porch, and sees a figure laying on the porch and with Buffy's coat.
Mm-hmm. So she thinks it's Buffy,
goes up to her, and it's the vampire. It's Kralik, not Kralik. Kralik, and he's like, Mother!
yeah, just like the grandma.
Hello, Mother!
Like,
yeah.
Or like the wolf pretending to be. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, Cordy comes into the library.
Yes.
And is needing to research a, this might have happened before the Joyce thing.
It did, but it's fine. Yeah. Anyway. Doesn't matter.
She basically gives Buffy a ride home because Buffy wants to leave and is upset and she can't go by herself. So
Cordelia was trying to come in to write a paper or something like that though. And Buffy talks her into getting her ride home and she's like, well, but if the world doesn't end, I'm going to need a note.
Yeah. She's like, oh, is the world ending? I was like, I'm not going to write, I'm going to bother with this paper if it is, if the world's ending. So Cordelia drives her home. And Buffy comes home and throws the flowers. She just walks through the back door and just swipes the flowers from her dad into the trash. Like, could she be any more betrayed by the father figures in her, the father figure in her life?
Like, exactly.
She was just so disappointed in the men in
her
life.
She's over it.
Yeah. And so she goes into the, towards the front door. The front door is open and there's a Polaroid of that vampire and her mom. And it says, come on the back. Because Giles did say that that's where she was supposed to go. That's where he was going to send her. So she doesn't know where to go. Okay. So she goes upstairs, starts packing a bag of, like, all of her, like, weapons and everything. Very, very specifically showing us the holy water.
Because
that's important.
That was important.
Putting attention on the holy water. And he knows how she, like, picks it up and is like, oh, like, it's heavy.
She can barely carry it.
She can barely carry it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even come that much in handy, the whole bag, anyway. So at the Sunnydale Arms, Kralik is taking lots of Polaroids of Joyce.
That's like kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. And he just kind of explains, you know, my mother did this to me and all this stuff. And eventually he, like, ate his mother. And he's like, but, you know, when your daughter comes, like, don't worry, I'm going to turn her. I'm going to make her into, like, me. I'm going to make her like a vampire. And then she'll eat you. I'll have her eat you. So he's like, I have mother problems. I'm aware of this. So I got mom issues. Yeah, he's creepy.
And he's like, I don't want to kill Buffy. I just want to make her like me.
Yeah.
Wow.
She starts to explore it, but first she puts a stake in the door to kind of keep the door open. And as she's exploring, Blair comes out and finds the stake and pulls it out of the door. So Buffy knows someone's there and they know she's there.
Yep.
So she just was basically wandering around looking, like, to see what's up. At the library, Giles is trying to call Quentin, but Quentin shows up. And he basically is like, hey, I was looking for you. To let you know that, you know, that monster got out and killed Hobson and turned Blair. I guess he just assumes Blair got turned because Blair wasn't there. We don't really, I don't think we had any evidence that Blair actually was turned.
I didn't catch that. Good catch.
But somehow he thinks he was turned. And he tells Quentin that doesn't matter. The test is over because he told Buffy. And Quentin's like, okay, well.
The test already begun.
Yeah, your slayer went into the playing field like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, she entered the area 10 minutes ago.
And he's like, why did she do that? And he's like, I don't know. But she went in there because I was watching. And then Giles runs off. To the Sunnydale Arms. Okay, so back at the Sunnydale Arms, Buffy is fighting Blair because Blair finds her. She mostly runs from him, is basically what I mean by fighting.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah. She pushes over a bookcase on him, hits him with things, like just trying to get away from him.
Yep.
Kralik comes out, and this is where he really talks about the Little Red Riding Hood, like says stuff about getting lost in the woods and coming to grandma's and bringing treats with all of her like weapons and stuff. So this is when he's like really heavily talking about the Little Red Riding Hood stuff. And then she pulls a cross on him and I feel like it's supposed to be like he's having an itch scratched, but it also seemed sexual.
Yeah. I thought it seemed very sexual too. Like it was,
Yeah, pleasuring he's like, lower, him. Lower, lower. Ooh. But yeah, I think it was supposed to be like, oh, that's the spot as far as a scratch.
Ew.
But it...
That didn't come off correctly.
Like, I think, yeah, it was like, ooh.
It's kind of gross. Yeah, exactly.
Because he like enjoyed being burnt by the cross, like, which is pretty sadistic of him.
Messed up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not your average vampire. He's not.
He was already like a monster before he was, when he was alive. So usually
at least she's able to run away at this point, though.
Yeah.
She's able to get free.
Yeah, she gets away. She
locks herself in a room, and I don't know if that's the greatest plan, but.
Yeah, I mean, she opens a door, and it's like just bricks, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it's like a fun house that's not fun. Yeah. House of Horrors.
Yeah, they were preparing this, so it would be like this for her. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah, she runs up the stairs and he grabs her by her feet, which rubs her, so she like falls and smashes her head on the stair, and is trying to just scrabbling away from him. She goes into, She goes into a room and it's full of Polaroids of her mom.
It's so creepy.
Yeah, really creepy.
Like, this is kind of... Yeah. There's actually no real connection, but something about this gives me, like, Silence of the Lambs vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, like, the dark, like, abandoned house with, like, things are creeping around in it.
And that's the cannibalistic stuff.
Yeah. It also gave me vibes of... Not the environment, but like the Polaroid thing. Like, remember that movie 1 Hour Photo with Robin Williams where he played like a
creep? That was super creepy. Yeah. And that was such a weird role for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
he was like, obsessed with that family.
Yeah. Just like the Polaroids. I don't know. It made me think of 1 Hour Photo.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though like there's no other really connection. This is a freaky movie. So yeah, she runs out into the hallway and Kralik's there. He grabs her. He almost bites her. She can really do nothing about it. But then he has like a head attack. I wouldn't even call it a headache.
Yeah. Like, we don't even really know what's going on with him and what these pills are and why he needs them.
Yeah. They're obviously drugging him to some degree.
But he wants them.
But he needs them. Like, he's addicted, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. But I guess he's addicted. Weird. And he's like, my pills. And he's like trying to like get them off. Get the cap off, and then she knows, like, okay, she grabs them because obviously he wants them, and she like jumps down a laundry chute, like an old school, my aunt had, I think, did we have one in our house? I think I might, when I was growing up, but my aunt had one. Yeah. No. It just went from the second floor to the
never seen one before.
Yeah. Cool. It just had a little door on it. It kind of looked like like you just pushed it, it went down, just whoop, and it just dropped down in the basement. So, yeah, Buffy just throws herself down there head first and goes into and falls into the basement. And then she sees that her mom is down there. That's where Joyce is tied up and everything.
Yeah.
And she tries to get her mom undone, but then Kralik comes down and is like, my pills. And she just kind of like gives them up, like lets him have them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see the whole thing happen, but he takes the pills, he drinks the water that's there, and it's like, oh yeah, and he's just going on and on, and Buffy's just waiting. And we find out that she had filled the glass of water with holy water.
Oh my god. He starts like burning from the inside.
Yeah. Wow. And it was really Buffy. Creative. That was a creative kill.
Well, this is what they wanted. They wanted her to use her witch. Mm-hmm. Her intelligence to defeat him, and she did, but wow.
Yeah, and he's just like, until he just disintegrates.
It was pretty creepy.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So yeah, he's dead, obviously. And then she's trying to get Joyce out, and then Blair runs in, and Giles is right behind him and stakes him, like, attacks him, so he saves.
Way to go, Giles, but a little too late.
Yeah, yeah. So at the library, Quentin's there, and Buffy and Giles, and Buffy's looking traumatized.
Yep.
Has like a pretty massive head wound among I'm sure other things that we just don't see. And Quentin's like, congratulations, you passed.
And she's like, do I get a gold star?
She's pretty pissed, as she would be.
She's so pissed.
And Giles is pissed. He's like, the test is over. Like, leave now. Like, he's like,
she said, I think you better leave town before I get my strength back.
Yeah, she's not a fan. And he says, well, she passed, but you didn't because you told her about it.
Yep.
And he says, you know, your feelings for her have like clouded your judgment. You have a father's love for the child, which makes you useless to the cause, which I love. So sweet, because he does love her as a child.
He does. Yeah.
That's why he had such problems with this. Yeah. And so he
I see. Oh, she perks up minutely at that. I see her perk up.
She's hearing it. A little bit. Yeah. And that Giles is fired.
Yeah. He's relieved of his, effective immediately. He's relieved of his watcher duties.
Yeah. So Giles has been fired, which is insane and a big thing. A big deal.
Very curious to know how this progresses.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he says that you shouldn't have any more contact with her. And he's like, well, that's not going to happen. I'm not going anywhere. So he's going to stay there and be involved. He's like, yeah, I figured you'd say that. But when her new watcher comes, you better not get in his way.
You can't interfere, yeah.
Can't interfere. So who's that going to be? What's that going
to
be?
And he's like to Buffy, congratulations again. And she's like, fight me.
Mm-hmm. Like, she is pissed. So he leaves and she's trying to like kind of clean herself up, like dab her like head windery. And she does let Giles come over and do it. So I think it's like a bit of a peace offering, and she accepts the peace offering mm-hmm. of like helping her tend to her wounds and stuff.
Yeah.
In Buffy's kitchen, Willow especially just cannot believe that Giles was
fired.
And, you know, Buffy's like, well, don't forget, he's still the librarian. So he still has a job. He'll still be mm-hmm. there. She doesn't think much is going to change. And she's like, yeah, the important thing is I kept up my tradition of like a horrible birthday. Like
gut-wrenching horror.
Yeah, for my birthday. So that's the important thing. She just wants to get her. She doesn't have her strength back because he did say it would only. We forgot to mention that he said it only lasts a few days. Like if she once they stop giving the injections, it would only last a few days.
Yeah, so she can't even have one jar.
A jar of peanut butter, and of course, Xander's like, "You need help with that, little lady."
Mm-hmm.
So she gives it to him. He's like, "She's like, you're enjoying this too much," and he's like, "Oh, you know, sometimes you need a big strong man," and he can't get it out.
Yeah.
And I like when as soon as it blacks out to the credits, he says, "Little help with that, Will? Or can you give me a help with that, Will?" So I need to Willow to open it for him. So, and that's the end of the episode. So yeah, very dark episode.
Very dark, but so good.
It was very good. It
really kept my attention the whole time.
It was very good.
This episode perked me back up after the last one. So after the last one, I was pretty disappointed, I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, what was the last one?
The gingerbread one.
Oh, gingerbread, yeah. Gingerbread. So my favorite quote was, "Your affection for your charge makes you incapable of clear and impartial judgment. You have a father's love for the child, and that makes you useless to the cause."
Mm.
I just thought that was sweet. That I mean, it's mean, sweet. But what he's saying is that he can see how much Giles cares for her.
Yeah.
Not as a watcher, as a father.
Yeah.
He loves her. And it's just, I just think that's so cute and sweet. I always have like, though it's gone through bumpy, this is a bump in the road for Buffy and Giles. We've gone through them before. They will go through more. But I've always like loved their relationship.
Yeah, definitely. It's a constant.
Then, yeah. And then my favorite scene was the Buffy, Quint, and Giles, their last scene. So basically when he was saying all that, like when Giles gets fired and everything and Buffy's like sitting there all beat up and she's like basically threatening Quint and all that. That was my favorite scene.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had a tie with my favorite lines.
Mm-hmm.
The one was about, how do you know someone's aura is dirty? Does somebody come by with a finger and write "wash me" on it? Then also, I really have to give Cordelia the kudos for the, "But if the world doesn't end, I'm going to need a note."
Yeah. You know, there wasn't a lot of funny lines in this, but those were some of the funny ones.
I definitely clung on to the funny ones. I really did appreciate the humor breaks that they tried to give us.
Yeah, usually there's more. Usually it's like a better balance. This one
was just very...
But it was just, there was way dark. More like angst and dark in it, like the dark episode for sure.
And we had the same favorite scene.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's a good one. My stake rating was a 4.8.
Ooh.
I like that we're getting more about the council because mm-hmm. it's a whole governing body that we don't know much about, but it has a lot of power and like rules a lot about slayers and watchers and everything, has a lot of influence, makes all the rules. And we haven't really met anybody from the council. Well, Gwendolyn Post was in the council as a watcher, but the higher ups in the council.
Right.
So we've met Quentin, who runs the council. And of course, like Hobson and Blair, who are like, maybe they're watchers in training or were, but we're kind of figuring out more about like what the council is about. That's like, I like to see that, like expanding it, expanding that world. That we don't just like, it's not just something we just never learn anything more about. So I like that. It was interesting seeing Buffy with no powers, like just being weak.
Yeah.
Because we're not really used to that. She's like the savior. It comes to save everyone. Giles, exclamation point. Just like he was so on both sides of the spectrum. Like he was so horrible for doing that to her. Yep. But then like every moment he was trying to like talk them out of it and not do it. And eventually didn't do it, like go through with it. And you could see how much he was like
wrestling with it.
Yeah, he was very much conflicted, and but you know, Giles is very much like a by the book kind of person, but like this was too far for him because he does love her, like as his kid, and it's she's like so sweet. I like that we keep getting Buffy's birthday tradition, and we'll probably continue for bad birthdays for Buffy. But I like looking forward to Buffy's birthday every year for bad birthdays.
Something she doesn't look forward to.
Yeah. And then Kralik is really an interesting villain, even though he only got, I feel like he could have been way, like, he could have done more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, a serial murderer turned vampire.
Yeah. Super creepy.
I think he was very creepy. Mm-hmm. We will see this actor again. He will come back in season 6 as a character.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's a long time from now. But when we get there, I'll say, like, oh, remember him? Remember Kralik from Helpless? So you do that, get that, especially when they're vampires or they're, like, fully monster. Like, they'll have people come back, either in, like, human role or, like, and as another monster or another vampire or another, like, supernatural character because you can't really tell a lot, like, if it's the same actor. So, we will see this guy again in season 6 as a completely different character.
I will look out for him then. See if I remember that in 3 seasons.
But yeah, he was great. I thought he was really interesting. Really interesting. Like, we never even, like, what was up with the pills? Like you said, like, what was up with the pills? We never found out.
Yeah, I know.
I just feel like he was, like, so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have, like, gone further with him. Definitely. I feel like he could have had a little bit of an arc. I would have been cool with it.
He could have been around for a few episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was a great one. I think he probably wasn't used to his full potential but he was good.
Yeah.
Like, he was insane. He was insane. Like, in a way more dangerous way than Cordelia. Drusilla is insane as a vampire, you know? Yeah. Spordelia, Cordelia, Drusilla, whatever. Okay, what was yours?
4.8.
Yeah!
Yeah, that's funny. So, yeah, same as you. It was a really good episode. I really did love this villain. He was super creepy. He kind of gave me, like I said, the Hannibal Lecter vibes. I really liked that. I missed the Little Red Riding Hood. So I'm glad that you pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing the development with Giles and Buffy again, even though Giles really did disappoint me in this episode. I know he had to do that, but I don't know. Like, I know you can never really understand what you would do in someone else's shoes, but, like, I feel like, I don't know, he didn't have to, but I guess, I don't know. Like, what happens if he would have just been like, no, would they just have found another way to do it, I guess?
I don't know. They probably would have fired him either way. Like, if I said no, if I would have fired and had another watcher in. But if it had to be done on her birthday, I don't know if they just would have not been able to do it.
Or exactly.
I don't know what would have happened. But, yeah, I wish Giles would have. There would have been no episode, but.
Yeah, I know. You know, so I don't. I have mixed feelings on that.
Gotta have the conflict, but.
Yeah. I didn't like that. And just like seeing how utterly betrayed Buffy was, especially after she got the betrayal from her father, like, oh my God, two big ones. I hate seeing her like go through such like heartache on her birthday. Like that's just, it was sad.
Yeah.
But it was a good episode. I did like it.
It was a very well done episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well written, like just good. It was dark.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. Yeah. Okay, anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that was Helpless. All right, so your question for next week, it's called The Zeppo, is the title.
Weird and title.
A classic car shows up in this episode. What is it?
1965 and a half Mustang.
65 and a half? Is that what you said?
That's the first Mustang.
Is that real? Okay.
Yeah. I think...
1965 and a half. That's funny. Okay, you said 1965 and a half Mustang. Okay. I actually don't remember off the top of my head. I looked it up. I don't remember off the top of my head, so I'll have to go look it up and see if you're right.
That's my favorite classic car, but if we're actually going to go for what they would pick. This is a very broad question, so I'm gonna give a couple of answers. Then I'm gonna go with Mustang, but I'm also gonna go with a Chevy. Let's say, do I have to say like the make, model, year, or can I just say
whatever you want?
Okay, so I will also give Chevy as my answer.
Okay, Chevy or Mustang. Okay,
yeah,
it is,
or
like
Mustang or Chevy.
Pretty wide answer. So yeah, you'll get two. Okay. Give you two shots.
Okay.
So that wraps up season 3, episode 12, Helpless. Again, you can find us on all major podcast apps and YouTube and Instagram at One Girl All the World Pod. You can email us at onegirlpod@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week at season 3, episode 13, The Zeppo. See you real soon.
Bye.